Okay, my credentials are what he said. Some of you guys know me, some of you don't. I'm an elder and a cluster pastor, but that's not what gives me the total authority to be here. The total authority that I have is in Jesus Christ, and I have a power and authority to share some things with you all today, and really excited about it. I mean, there's something that's brewing, and it's brewing in me, and it's been brewing. Actually, this sermon has been since February that God has been putting this on my heart, and it's really interesting how such a time as this. So here's the deal. Some of you today are going to experience something really, really magnificent today. And that's not a normal, like, yeah, the law of averages means that, yeah, that's going to happen. What I mean is that some of you are going to experience salvation today and you've never experienced it before. And I know that is true. And the other part is some of you are going to experience something dramatic in the way that you live your life from this point forward. And it is really today is going to happen. And then the other group of you are really those who have already, you are full of freedom and God has freed you from so many things. You are going to be able to jump for joy if you want to today and just experience that. So I just want to give you confidence in that. Today, what we're going to talk about is I'm going to expose something, and I've been praying all week, guys. I'm telling you what I'm talking about. I'm going to expose the kingdom of darkness today. I'm going to expose Satan in all of his wicked, dark ways. And feel a little bit of pressure when you think about that, when you think, man, what does that mean? You know, and I've been praying all week. I've asked a lot of you, pray for me. Cover me because of what I have to do today. And in doing that, it really gave me a lot of confidence. I started thinking, you know, Satan really is like just a yapping dog who has a big bark, who's constantly barking fear. And when I really got confident in the message and in this thinking, I just looked at this dog and I thought, yeah, you're mean and you're scary and you have a big bark, but you have no power and authority over me. And so that's the confidence that I bring in today. Satan will be exposed today. God will be exalted today, and he will get all the glory for it today, and that's what's really fun. And guess what? You're going to know your role even better, your role as the body of Christ and as the church. And so that's what I'm really, really thrilled about. We're going to attempt to, I'm going to throw some slides up. We're going to have that. If that doesn't work, we'll can them, but we are in a battle, and I want to start right there. We are in a battle. I'm in a real live battle, and I want to remind us and wake us up to that, Bridgeway Church. Now, all the church is in the battle all the time. Our congregation, our body of believers are in a battle, and God is saying today, wake up, sound the alarms. It is the battleship mentality. I mean, I've been all week like reading all this World War II battle strategies, and like, I know that's kind of weird. Kelly always gives me a hard time. I love documentaries. I love reading like maps of different things like that. Anyone else like that? Come on, guys. Who's with me? Or girls. But guys, you like that kind of stuff. It kind of fires you up, right? You just kind of get into it. Well, what happened was I started looking at the axis of evil, right? The World War II, Nazi Germany, Hitler, the whole thing. And you know what it all boiled down to? A real clever plan of deception. He deceived everyone at all times and did it in a really pretty masterful way for a period of time. And until America got punched in the nose in Pearl Harbor, we got punched in the nose and remember that waking the sleeping giant? And that's really what happened to change the flow of World War II. That's what we're talking about today, guys. I want us to realize that we just got punched in the nose, that we've gotten punched in the nose, and it's time to wake up. It's time to stir our attention and to look and prominently at our enemy and at our king. Does that make sense? Neil Anderson in the book Bondage Breaker said this, "The battle from Genesis to Revelation is between two kingdoms, between Christ and the Antichrist, between the spirit of truth and the father of lies, between the prophets of God and the false prophets, between the wheat, the sons of the kingdom, and the tares, the sons of the evil one." And he goes on to say, if your biblical worldview does not include the kingdom of darkness, then either God or you will have to take the bum rap for all the junk that Satan is doing in the world. Does that make sense? To understand the kingdom of God, we've got to understand the kingdom of darkness. If we don't claim or understand the kingdom of darkness and how Satan works, then guess who gets the blame most of the time? God does. And then we walk in shame. And we walk in that false guilt over and over and over again. But if we truly understand that the kingdom of God must be understood in contrast to the kingdom of darkness, there is a good and there's an evil. So I want to start with this. Who's in charge? Before we get there, before we go into like exposing Satan, who is in charge, really? When it all boils down, we're going to go through some history. God raised Jesus from the dead and set him on a throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. This is Ephesians 1, by the way. And not just for the time being, but forever. He's in charge of it all. Jesus is in charge of it all. He's at the center. And at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. Very important to know. The church, you see, is not secondary to the world. The world is secondary to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything from his presence. That's Ephesians 1 in the Message Bible. You get it? That at the very center, Jesus rules the church. He is in charge. He's in charge of galaxies to governments. He's in charge of the church. And the church is not secondary to the world. The world is secondary to the church because of Jesus. And we're going to talk about this specifically here in a moment about the history here. And so let me start at the very beginning. This is for the, you history types. We're going to go through like the timeline like real fast. So it's a little bit like the fire hydrant, and I know that. And I'm trying to be sensitive to that, but it's really important that you understand what happened at the very beginning of time, because we're going to look at the beginning of time and the end of time in a very fast run. The very beginning of time, Satan fell from heaven. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, he said, I watched him fall like a lightning bolt straight from heaven. And guess why he fell from heaven? We know it was an authority issue. He didn't yield to God's authority. He wanted to be God. And guess what? I'm just gonna tell you the big secret sauce of Satan. The secret sauce of Satan is this. At all times, everything that he ever does, anytime, is always in rebellion to authority. Always. Every lie and every deception has always been about an authority issue. And so he deceives people through authority. And you can look through the whole Bible and you're like, oh my goodness, yeah, obvious. And we'll talk about that, how that applies to us. Well, guess what? God created the world. And when God created the world, he gave the authority to Adam. He gave authority to Adam to name things. And if you look at the beginning of the world, he did more than that. God created boundaries. He placed the water where there was shoreline. He had sky and earth, night, day. There's boundaries. And Satan hates authority so much, and he hates boundaries so much, that he's always pushing out boundaries. We're going to talk about that. And he's always against authority and boundaries. And so let me read in Genesis chapter 3, because here comes this old serpent, the devil, as it's called most of the time in the Old Testament. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Eve, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. The serpent said, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good and pleasing to the eye, she took some of it and ate it. And she also gave it to her husband. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, so they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then it goes on, and God had found them and searching for them. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree." That's just great, isn't it? Has that changed since the beginning? Really? She did it. She's the one who gave it to me. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock. You will crawl on your belly all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers." And then it goes through and explains the consequences to the woman and to man. And to the woman, he said, "Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And to the man, you will have to work the ground. It'll be tougher. And the woman will have childbearing pains," and so on and so forth. There was consequences. But at the core of all of it was a deceiver. Was such a clever way. The serpent said, "Did he really say that? Surely not. Surely not. No, no, no. That's not it at all. God wants you to see those things. Do you see the boundary? The boundary was enjoy everything that you see, except this one tree and the fruit. That's it. Just one. Everything else is yours. You have all authority. You rule all over it, except this one." And then because Satan and his deception and his authority and his rebellion basically said, "No, that's not good enough. Surely he wouldn't do that. God's too good. God is a good God. He's a God of love. Surely he wouldn't." Do you see this deception? That is the same deceptive plot that is in us every day, that the enemy tries to tempt us with and accuse us with every day. Okay, we're going to keep going. All of a sudden, Adam, he forfeits his authority to the devil when he sins. So what happened basically is it transferred. It transferred from the one thing that he wasn't supposed to do, he did. And so now the authority, as far as the ruling of that world, the earth, is in the hands of Satan. And then Satan ruled from authority from that period of time until a certain period of time, the most crucial time in our history. It was the cross of Jesus Christ. And at that moment, when Jesus, and so I want you to understand maybe in a different way, you know, we have an Easter story and we know it so well, but I want you to understand in a different way from the very beginning of time and when the fall of Adam to the cross of Jesus Christ, the significance. So we're going to look at the passion clip. We look at it a lot. You guys have probably seen it a lot, but maybe from a new perspective here. And I want you to understand the significance that when Satan ruled the earth all the way down until something happened. Jesus climbed down from heaven into this world in the form of a baby and grew up. And when he was crucified, he basically climbed back in with the keys of sin and death. And so if you could run that clip, Don, that'd be great. Jesus gains full authority. That's it, guys. Do you get it? Do you see it? Do you understand? All authority is given to Jesus Christ at that point in time. I mean, God has restored his plan, the plan that he's been planning for years and years. I mean, from the very beginning of time, he took this his son, and he used his son as part of the plan, and the plan was for the redemption of our souls. And Satan now has no authority over those who are in Christ Jesus. Now get this and understand what authority is. Authority is the right to rule. He doesn't have the right to rule over those in Jesus Christ anymore, because what happened is when Jesus took the full authority through his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, he then gave his authority to us. He said in Matthew 28:18, "You know, all authority have I under heaven." And now, then he said, "I'm giving you authority in the Great Commission." So he's passed that authority on to us. Power is the ability to rule. Authority is the right to rule. And Jesus gave us authority through him to continue the good works of Christ, of God, to advance the kingdom of God, to fight against the enemy and his plan. And so here we are, guys. You know what we, the big thing I think I realized this week is like, oh, I forget this. I forget it. And so there's times in my life where I'm like, why do I struggle with this habitual sin or these thoughts or these feelings? And I forget that I'm a child of God, that I have the authority and the power because of Jesus Christ to stand up against the very things that would keep me deceived. So who are we? Let's go through this pretty quickly too, and we're going to get into Satan and expose him. Who are we? We are born spiritually dead. When we are born into this world, we are spiritually dead. Yes, you understand that? You get that? We are subject to the rule because we're on earth. And still, until Jesus comes again to get us, to take us back with him, then we still are subject to his rule. But upon salvation, God delivers us. He delivers us from that kingdom of darkness and transfers us to the kingdom of God. What we saw here from a baptism is a symbol of that. It's not that baptism saved you, but it's a symbol of salvation. And that when you are dead, all things then become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are a new creation. The old is past, the new has come. So that's what happens. That's who we are. And then guess what? Our citizenship changes. Because guess what? We're no longer bound to this earth. We're no longer set to die once and then die again in hell because of Jesus Christ. We die once, but that enters us into eternity. And so our citizenship is not here. Okay, Bridgeway Church, this is a big deal. We do not belong to the world. It's a big, big deal. We are not bound by the same rules as the world. We don't belong to the world. That sounds so weird, I know, but we are aliens here. We are aliens. This is not our final destination. We have some traps that we've fallen into, Ridgeway, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Though Satan rules the world, he does not rule over those who are in Christ. Christ is our Lord. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Big deal. It's in Christ that we find out who we are. That's our position, when we find out who we are. And guess where power comes in? When you know who you are and whose you are, it changes everything. So while we wait, here's the deal. We're still on Satan's home turf. We're still on his home turf. But this is still where he resides and still is battle. The battle is here. Even though our citizenship is in heaven, we're still on this earth. And while we're here, he's trying to rule our lives by making us believe that he still has the authority. But do you understand? The authority has already come to us because of Jesus Christ on the cross. Do you get that? Satan is trying to bully us, to make us think that he still has the authority and the power. But the reality is that he doesn't. Christ gives us protection. He gives us protection and authority over darkness, and he gives us the Holy Spirit as our guide. And he has also given us armor to use. But you have to understand, we're still vulnerable, very much vulnerable to influences and the targets of the enemy. Okay, so let's get into it. Let's expose Satan here. We'll turn the lights on here in a minute, but right now we'll just keep it dark for a minute. Satan exposed. So who is Satan? Satan is a thief, a liar, a deceiver. Satan is a manipulator. Satan is a roaring lion, devouring anyone. It doesn't matter. He's devouring anyone. Satan will always, always, always kill, steal, and destroy. Okay, so Lord, I just ask that you would open our hearts up, open our minds, open us up and understand the enemy in a powerful way, really relevant way. Help us understand that he does not have the authority, that he has been defeated. And I pray that you would bring power and authority on your church, on your body, Lord. Wake us up, Lord, in Jesus' name. 1 Peter 5:8, he's roaring, he's devouring, he's walking around, roaming from place to place. And he will always kill, steal, and destroy. Think about it, and I put it in terms of stealing faith. Paul said the greatest things, but God's given us faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these are love. Think about this, that the enemy is constantly trying to steal faith. He's trying to steal faith from us in a way that would be deceptive so that we could have weird thoughts or, you know, I don't know if God really is like that. Surely God wouldn't do this or that, or maybe there's a new way, or what about this faith, or what about that? The enemy is constantly trying to confuse us so that he will steal our trust in God. He's constantly working to kill hope. Okay, now here's what I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand here. Does this resonate with you? Do you understand? Have you been in a season where you have been hopeless? You've been hopeless? I mean, literally, can you think about it? I want you to raise your hand if you have been hopeless any time in your life. Okay, what does hopeless mean? Audience participation. Hopeless. Confusion? No hope. That's right. Disillusionment? Right. What's the feel like? Despair, depression, darkness. What else does it feel like? Get it out. That's right. Right. Now, guys, get it. If we don't understand that there's a kingdom of darkness and a ruler who's roaming about trying to devour, if we can't understand that there is someone, an adversary against us, then we'll naturally think that, well, we're nuts. I just need to pull up my bootstraps and have some hope. Or, God, you've disappointed me. Or, God, you are this or that. Do you get it? Do you understand? He is trying to put a wedge directly in between us and God in such a way that we will despise God, that we will wallow in our despair, and that we will mock God in the end and say, there is no God. So at that point, he would laugh and put you in that room with all the others that he has deceived and declare victory, that you have lost all hope in the living God. When the living God is such a one that came to earth to get you, to save you, to pull you into his arms, to hold you, to rock you and say, I did love you, I do love you, I will love you forever and ever and ever. With me, there is hope forever. There is hope for the rest of your life, for eternity. You are not bound by this world, child. You are mine, and I'm your good daddy, and I will watch over you. And I will not let you fall. I will never leave you in the arms of that liar, that cheat, that deceiver, who does not have power anymore. And I want you to know also, Satan does not have the same power as God. He is not equal to God. God has cast him out. God has delivered us from him, and he has destroyed the enemy. And ultimately, guess where the devil will be living? In a lake of fire, bound forever and ever and ever. He's trying to kill our hope. He's trying to destroy our faith. He's trying to destroy love. Ultimately, when it all comes down, he's destroying love so that we can feel so weird about relationships, so that we can look at things and never have hope again, so we can look at things and just despise them and think, well, that's not how they're supposed to be, I guess. Satan's number one strategy. And please get this. This is the opening up and unveiling and exposing Satan, okay? And go ahead and hit the lights on. Let's just expose him fully. Because, by the way, whenever lights come, Satan runs. Always. Whenever the light comes, Satan runs. Now, get this. Satan's number one strategy, so I'm going to let everyone know this, his number one strategy is deception. He uses that in every single case to deceive you. It could be deceive you from to the left or to the right, at some whatever degree. He's always using a deception. You know why? It's his natural language. It's like we naturally, most of us, speak English. That's our natural language. His natural language is lying. It is. He's a deceiver from the very beginning. So let's think about this. He'll use self-deception to try to manipulate your thoughts and how you think about things, deceive little things and run with them. He'll use deceiving spirits, demons that would try to derail us or destroy us or kill us or confuse us or whatever it is. He'll use false teachers, false prophets. These are all biblical things. I mean, this is all in the Word. Story after story after story of how Satan has used these things. And again, here's the big, what is he using? He's using deception to do what? To push the boundaries, to remove boundaries, to change the boundaries and the authority between us and our loving Savior. Do you understand that? He's pushing, he's manipulating, he's doing whatever he can do to fully entangle us in life-killing things. Life-killing things. He doesn't care how it works, what the plan is, if I can move that person from here to here, if I can manipulate them, if I can deceive them to such a degree, that's what he's after. His plans ultimately are death. So his tactic is to entice us to push something good. Now, this is a big, big statement, so I'm going to read it, and you guys, please get this. His tactic is to entice us to push something good beyond the boundaries of God until it becomes sin. Go all the way back to Eve for a minute. What happened? One tree. Everything else, they ruled over. It was unbelievable. Paradise. But the one tree, he pushed the boundaries to get them into sin. Over one tree. Over one moment. Life-killing. It was immediately life-killing. To get that, he pushes the boundaries. So let me explain what I mean by that. He'll use physical rest to become laziness. Okay, all you lazy people, raise your hand. No, I'm teasing. Some of you are like, that's me. Do you get it? He'll use physical rest to push the boundaries, and it'll become laziness. The ability to profit becomes greed. Physical pleasure becomes sensuality. Communication becomes gossip. Sexual freedom becomes immorality. Constantly pushing the boundaries. A little bit. You know, God established the sun and the moon, the heaven and the earth. There's boundaries. Carefulness becomes fear. Same-sex friendship becomes homosexuality. Judgment becomes criticism. Enjoyment of food becomes gluttony. Do you see how he's deceiving? One step over the line. Satan's ultimate lie is that you are capable of being the God of your own life, and his ultimate bondage is the attempt to live as though his lie were true. Satan is out to remove God's place in your life. So he is trying to deceive us to basically say, there is no God, you are God, and you can be like God, Eve, if you'll eat this fruit. And the fruit's not harmful. Surely it couldn't be harmful. Come on, really? God wouldn't do that. He's a God of love. And that deception was what led past the boundary. The message of this fallen world is to inflate the ego while denying God the opportunity to take his rightful place as Lord. Every temptation is an endeavor by Satan to get you to live your life independent of God. And that was Satan's plan with Eve from the very beginning. Now, the interesting part about it, Satan, yeah, is clever, but his strategy is the exact same. Time after time after time. We've got to be aware of it, guys. We've got to understand it. So the battle is this. Satan's been fighting God from the beginning of time. He's been fighting God, but he's not an equal power. Jesus Christ won full authority at the cross, and the defeated Satan has been using guerrilla warfare since then to keep the bride deceived. That's it. That's the battle. That's the battle strategy and the plan. He's been deceiving us and wanting to keep us so deceived so that we will be doubting God, will be hopeless, loveless, and so eventually he could take us and put us in his bone closet and say, I've got another one, in full despair. This is not a Satan-centered message, by the way. It's a Christ-centered message. Go on to the next slide. He lost. He lost. He's lost. Christ is king. That's his. We expose Satan, right? He's a deceiver. He's a liar. Every thought. I had so many deceiving thoughts this week. I unplugged this week, by the way, and I'm going to tell you this. It's, you know, it normally says don't tell people you're fasting, but I'm going to tell you for your benefit. I did a media fast this week. I unplugged from all media. I didn't watch TV. I didn't read the paper. I didn't listen to any music. I didn't read anything. I was just out of it. I mean, I couldn't tell you what's going on, current affairs, current events. I don't know what Oprah said this week. Have no clue what that is. But guess what? God got a hold of me. He started putting things into me in a powerful way. And when he did it, he started reminding me, and I could hear two things. I could hear the intimacy of my Father, and I could also see the deceiving, the deception of the enemy. I mean, I caught him lying to me several times. I had one Friday night. I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's a lie. I'm like, caught you. You know, that's what I felt like. Yeah, I know, that's you. And you know, I dealt with it, but I was able to. It was just so freeing. So let me encourage you, if you want to do it, try it for a week and see what happens. It's really impactful. Because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, we are a free people. Free of penalties and punishment of our misdeeds, and not just barely free, but we're abundantly free. We are free. We are free. I had a free week this week. I was walking around in freedom. And it was because I understood and realized the power and the authority that Jesus has, and the power and authority that I have because of him. And the things that the enemy throws at us and threw at me this week, they were just like, they were falling off, like water on a duck's back. It felt like that. Now I'm telling you, God is saying, Bridgeway Church, we are in a battle. Please wake up. Please wake up. Please wake up. And understand our responsibility. Understand your responsibility to know who you are. To know who you are. I'm going to tell a story. My son was, we were at this, we went to this church visiting with relatives, and we were there, and my little boy, I mean, he's 6 years old. He was over here playing. He was just having a good time. You know, some of you guys know Will. And all of a sudden, this other little boy came over to him and was starting to push him in the corner. I mean, I'm thinking at church, it was just kind of funny. I wasn't expecting that. And he started bullying him. And he kept, like, you know, doing the whole guy thing, like, you know, sticking this, like, gorilla stomach, you know, up to it. Guys do that, girls. That's a big deal. But he was bullying my son and putting him in the corner and start saying things like, him, who are you, little boy? Who do you think you are? Who are you? Where did you come from? Are you a visitor? I like all this stuff. I'm like, wow. We felt really welcome. That was part of their welcoming committee, you know. But anyway, so Will, guess what? All of a sudden, I tell you, I got so mad. Man, I got my chest out, and I started walking up. Came right over to this little boy, and I yanked that kid up. No, I'm teasing. But I basically said, who do you think you are? This is my son. He's mine. He's my son. You don't speak to him like that. You don't have, and I literally said this, you don't have the power to speak to him like that. It was not like any, it just came out. Do you get it? He didn't have the authority. He was not ruling over my son. He was not the authority. Who has the authority over my son's life? I do. He does not have the authority. And so this little 8-year-old was trying to pass the authority and power on the 6-year-old. in a way that was not right, that was not true or accurate. And Daddy swooped in and said, you have no power. You have no authority. Get out of here. And he walked away in a very stern way. And I swooped my little boy up and I said, are you okay? And he said, yeah. And I said, who's your daddy? He said, you are. God is doing that with us, guys. God is doing that with us. Don't live under the bullying authority, supposed authority of Satan, if you are in Jesus Christ. If you are in Jesus Christ, you are free. You are free, abundantly free. If you are not in Jesus Christ, I will tell you, and this is so hard to say because of like political incorrectness, but I really don't care. If you are not in Jesus Christ, then you are still ruled by Satan and the enemy and the power that he still has on this earth. It is true and it is a reality. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is the consequence. But those who are in Christ, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to know who we are. We have a responsibility to not love the world more than you love God, that you love Jesus. Do not love the world more than you love Jesus. I'm going to just read something here in Ephesians 2. It was not long ago that you were mired in the old messy life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief, and then you exhaled disobedience. We all did it, all of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. God insists, this is Ephesians 4, God insists that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They refuse for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that is no life for you, church. That is no life for you, Bridgeway. You learned Christ. Therefore, everything, I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-imitating life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Love like God. Don't allow love to turn to lust, Ephesians 5. Wake up from your sleep, Bridgeway. Climb out of the coffins. Christ will show you the light. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. These are all Ephesians, by the way. Now, Ephesians 6. Well, or 5. You've been given authority over the kingdom of darkness, but if you don't believe it and exercise it, it's as if you didn't have it. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about a couple of hours from now. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirit up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Ephesians 6. We went through the book of Ephesians, basically. And that was the story today. That from the very beginning to the very end of time, Satan will continue to try to deceive those. For those who are in Christ, he will try to deceive you from loving intimately Jesus. powerfully and intimately. He will keep you from that. He will just try to destroy that. And so therefore, if you know who the enemy is, wake up, sleeping giant of Bridgeway. Wake up, every single one of us. Wake up and understand that we have a battle that we're in. And that battle means I got to hit the ground with my knees praying. I've got to support one another. I've got to love each other. But be careful when we love each other, when we're trying to pull someone out from sin, that we don't fall into that same sin. Galatians 6:1. Be careful, but do it in power and authority of Jesus Christ. For in the end, Jesus has all authority, full authority, and he's given that to us. Does that make sense? Is there a hoorah in there? That is the power of salvation in Jesus Christ and the authority. So I'll say one last phrase to us, Bridgeway, and that would be to stand firm. Stand firm. Don, won't you come on up? Stand firm in the hope and faith and in love of the powerful King that has more power than the enemy. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we're gonna pray here. We're gonna have some ministry time. Don, I'll let you kick off whenever. And then here's what we want to do. It's 1:30 right now. No, I'm teasing. Sorry. It's 12:05. It's 12:05. If you have kids, go grab your kids. We're gonna be dismissed here in a moment, but we'll play one song, and I'd ask the ministry team. We want to have some time for ministry here. Here's what I want. Here's what I'd love to see. If you want to get real, and if you want to come connect with the Lord in a powerful way, whatever that looks like. For some of you, it might be salvation. Some of you, it might be, man, I've got to get ahead with the Lord. I've got to fight. I want hope. I want faith. I want love. Whatever that is, then come on up and let's pray through that and let's get real with the Lord. Mm-hmm.